gracious Father, this is the day that you have set apart so that we can rest and remember you and focus on you, praising you and lifting up your name on high. God El Shaddai, Almighty God, with you nothing is impossible. We ask your Holy Spirit to hover over us as we focus on your word. Jesus, you are the word incarnate. As we focus on you, your spirit will be with us as the mission of the Holy Spirit is to glorify your name. We thank you for Mother's Day. You know, you bless each mother in this room to the precious lives that we see in our body. May your name continue to be lifted up for the rest of our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, what do we need to know about the gift of the Holy Spirit? We continue on Rediscover Holy Spirit series. There are two extreme views as to the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are a whole lot of misunderstanding from each other. So today, we'd like to find the biblical balance. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we need to know? There are two extreme views. One extreme view is a complete dismissal of the gift of the Holy Spirit, especially the power and sign gifts. An extreme form of this camp is called cessationism, which believes that spiritual gifts such as tongues, healings, and miracles, and prophecies have been seized at the end of the completion of the New Testament canon. So that's one extreme, and the other extreme is an overly emphasis of the gift of the Holy Spirit, especially the power and sign, such as speaking tongues and prophecies and healings and miracles. And this position is that if you don't speak in tongues, you may not have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we need to find the biblical balance in this topic, because denominations of church are divided because of these two extremes. And it is my desire, the Jubilee Church and the friends who stand firm in the strong foundation of the Scripture alone, as to what the Bible has to say in this topic. So let me ask first question, you know, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? We need to understand. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Would you please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12? We are going to begin with first three verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The word of God says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you are pagans, you are led astray to the dumb idols, however you are led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So, to begin with, the Apostle Paul's first exhortation to the Church of Corinth is that Christians should be well educated about spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is the motivation of today's sermon for us as well. We should know what the Scriptures teaches about the spiritual gifts. And the second thing Apostle Paul talks about in this passage is the role of the Holy Spirit in regenerating a person to become a Christian by convicting that Jesus is Lord. We talked about this crucial ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is called regeneration, a few weeks ago. And this is by far the most important ministry of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit regenerate life in us so that we'll be able to say Jesus is our Lord. And He convicts our sin, and He convicts our salvation by faith. So by far, this is the most important Holy Spirit's ministry. And nobody denies this fact among the Christian denomination. So this is not the point, but this is very important ministry of the Holy Spirit. And let's look at verses 4 through 6. And now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Then Apostle Paul talks about the diversity of spiritual gifts, diversity of services, and diversity of workings. So diversity is the essential matter for a healthy church. And he emphasizes all spiritual gifts are given by the same Holy Spirit, and all services by the same Lord, Jesus, and all workings by the same God, the Father. So Apostle Paul is emphasizing the unity of the Spirit, the Lord, and God. The unity of the Trinity is a very important concept because it conveys diversity and unity at the same time. God is one, unity, in all three persons, the diversity. So church life is basically reflecting the concept of Holy Trinity. You know, we are so diverse, we are so different, we have different gifts, and yet we have one God. So that's his emphasis here. And the next passage talks about why spiritual gifts are given and what kinds of spiritual gifts the scripture talks about. Let's turn to verses 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. So I think Apostle Paul has made clear the purpose of the gift of the Holy Spirit is for the common good. This means we need to use spiritual gifts for the entire community. Not primarily for benefit of the individual believer, but rather for the common good. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, Apostle Paul said, in NIV said, all of this must be done for the strengthening of the church. NASB, let all things be done for edification. So that's the purpose of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It builds up. So each gift God, the Holy Spirit is given is like the brick or frame of the building from which the building is built up for the common good, for the whole building. He listed different gifts here. The first he said, word of wisdom or message of wisdom. This refers to special understanding of the scripture, such as insight or recognition of God's true wisdom. You know, some people have a lot of wisdom based on scriptural knowledge. So Apostle Paul is talking about this gift, word of wisdom. And second gift he listed is the word of knowledge. This refers to a supernatural endowment of knowledge and factual information. So some people may understand what the depth of the things from Holy Spirit, so be able to share for encouragement. And the third gift he listed is a faith. This is not general faith, but rather it refers to a supernatural conviction that God will reveal His power or mercy in a special way, in a specific instance. And I think Paul Cho, Yonggi Cho, now he's known as David Cho, I think he exercised this gift. He said he truly believed that God's going to do something, and it happened many times in his ministry. And the fourth gift is gifts of healing. It's a gift. It's a plural. There are different kind of healing. I have seen that certain people are very good at healing certain type of disease, but not every disease. It's kind of special. And the fifth gift listed here is a miraculous power. It's a manifestation of supernatural powers. Actually, I have read an article by the missionary to Mozambique, and she has seen many people resuscitated after death, and she prayed over the dead body, and the many people came to life. I think that is one of the miraculous powers God has given. And prophecy. When the New Testament talks about prophecy, first thing we need to know is that this is not same as Old Testament prophecy. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding because of prophecy. The same word is used in both New Testament and Old Testament. New Testament prophecies are the word of encouragement. And it's individual, it's personal, and it's occasional. And it never meant to be same as the Old Testament, authority of the prophecy. I have seen many people who has gift of prophecy, they try to elevate their gift as same level as Old Testament prophets, which is wrong. We have to be careful because New Testament prophecy is never meant to be complete and perfect. New Testament prophecy is rather, according to Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, is incomplete, temporary, and partial. It's just meant to be giving encouragement. I think Apostle Paul did to Timothy. He gave a lot of word of prophecies over him, so that he would abide in his ministry. So God has given Apostle Paul to give words to Timothy in that specific context. So that is the main purpose of New Testament prophecy. And the seventh gift listed is distinguishing between spirits. Some people are gifted to know whether certain things are coming from God or not. They have very keen observatory ability, and they can immediately know this is fake or this is real. And the eighth gift is tongues, speaking tongues. I think there's a confusion in the church, tongues. There are Acts 2 tongues, which is 14 language, basically. When people gathered all over the world, God, Holy Spirit, works upon the apostles so that they would be able to speak the foreign language in a dialectic form so that people came from certain area would be able to understand. That's a Pentecostal tongues, which is basically a foreign language, human language. But Bible talks about two kinds of tongues. Apostle Paul used in Corinthians 1 Corinthians 13:1 tongues of men and tongues of angel. So he distinguished two kinds of tongues. And tongues of men is basically a language, a dialect, that needs to be interpreted. When I speak Korean, for those who do not understand Korean, I have to interpret. For those who, do not know Chinese, when some people speak Chinese, somebody has to translate into English or something. So that's the tongue of man. It's a human language. But Apostle Paul talks about tongues of angel, which he distinguished from tongues of men. I believe which he refers to the heavenly language, which is not a human language. If you look at 1 Corinthians 14:2, let's turn to, you go a couple more chapters down, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Let me read verse 1 and 2 together. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. So, Apostle Paul describes this tongue spoken to God. So this is very different than the tongue that apostles spoke in Pentecost. Some language spoken to God, which is basically prayer. We speak to God, that is called prayer. So I believe this tongue of angels, or it's a prayer language, is different from dialect of human language. But in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. Those who speak this tongue spoken to God, no one understands. If it is human language, someone would understand, but it's no one understands because this is angelic dialect. So we have to be using this foundation, because this one is actually omitted by secessionists. Secessionists never quote this Bible verse. They are saying every tongue is one type of tongue, which is human dialect. But Apostle Paul apparently is not talking about one type of tongue here. So we have to be very objective. We don't want to leave out any clue from the Bible. So in this context, Apostle Paul is not talking about human dialect or human language, but the language no one understands but God. God understands this tongue, which is tongues of angels or tongues of heavenly language, whatever you speak, which is mystery of his spirit. It's a mystery. And then another gift he listed is interpretation of tongues. I have seen that someone was speaking in tongue, and then the person next to it interpret in Korean, actually. I saw in Korean church. And I don't know how it happens, but someone has that gift. And those who speak tongues also can know what that means, so they can interpret. But not everyone has this gift. So in the church of Corinth, there was a lot of confusion because people spoke tongue without interpretation in public worship. When someone was praying, they may spoke in tongues, but never translate, so that tongue doesn't mean anything, unintelligible to the people. That's why this controversy arose. But nonetheless, Apostle Paul never forbid in speaking tongues. He rather said speaking tongues in the church. So there are other passages that list spiritual gifts in the New Testament. For instance, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, kinds of healings, helps, administration, and tongues. So as you see that, gift of Holy Spirit are not just signs and you know, wonders. There are other gifts like administration, taking care of you know, bookkeeping, or leadership, or even help, and teaching. Teaching is another gift of Holy Spirit. And Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, lists another list, prophecy, serving. Serving is the Holy Spirit's gift. And teaching, and encouraging, and contributing, giving, and leadership, and mercy. So if we count all of these, there are about 22 spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament. And there are other gifts not specifically listed in the New Testament, such as casting out demons, and prayer anointing, especially for intercessory prayer, and musical gift and worship anointing. You know, those are actually also spiritual gifts. So, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? In a nutshell, first is gift of knowledge. It's about word of wisdom or word of knowledge or even teaching. We classify as gift of knowledge. Some specific wisdom or knowledge is given to the person so that he or she would be able to share that knowledge. Mostly for encouragement. And second type of gifts are gifts of power. It's a healing, faith, and miracles. And the fourth category is a gift of speech. It's about tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and encouraging. You know, you don't have to have a gift of prophecy to encourage other people. Some people are born to encourage. You know, giving encouraging words, then effect is the same. Because that's the purpose of gift of prophecy. Gift of prophecy is not to to put yourself on top of other people with the God's authority. That is not New Testament prophecy. It's actually to give and encourage and build up other people when they need to hear some revelation from God. And gift of skills, administration, leadership, serving, and helping. You know, this gift is very precious gift in the church. Somebody has to serve. Somebody has to administer. Somebody has to lead and help. Some people are born to help. You know, whenever you know that person sees the need of people, you know, he or she is the one who runs after the people to help, which is a very important gift. So, you know, these are the four categories, large categories of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And second question I'd like to ask is, why are the gifts of the Holy Spirit given? So in other words, what is the purpose of the Holy, the gift of the Holy Spirit? let's look at the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. So there are many practical implications here. We should be willing to recognize and appreciate people who have gifts that are different from ours, and whose gift may differ from our expectations of what certain gifts should look like. You know, when I was in high school, our high school was a mission school. So we went to full gospel church on one occasion. And then we saw thousands of people, you know, sitting there, and then they praying in tongues, everybody. So that was like, you know, big head damage for me, because I never seen anyone speaking tongues, and it's the first time like thousands of people gather and they're speaking in tongues, and they're shouting, just yelling and shouting. Just, you know, later I recognized that God can do that. You know, although it's not my faith, but I recognize how full gospel church grew out of those gifts. And they attracted many people, and then many people got saved. But anyhow, and the second point I'd like to make is, moreover, a healthy church will have a great diversity of gifts. And this diversity should lead to greater unity among the believers in the church, rather than leading to division and fragmentation. Unfortunately, in the 20th century or even before, church was divided because of they have different interpretation of these gifts. Rather than embrace diversity in the spirit of unity, church decided to begin a different denomination because of these differences. And I believe that was a big mistake. And I believe that is one of the things that we could grieve the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is the one who would like to give his gifts, and church is divided because of that, how would he feel? I think the Bible talks about grieving, grieving of the Holy Spirit. It might be one of the things that we can grieve the Holy Spirit if we are divided. And let's read verses 12 and 14. For even as the body is one and yet have many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So Apostle Paul here illustrates using the body parts. We have different parts of the body, brain, eyes, and nose, and mouth, and ears, and hands, and 10 fingers, and 2 feet, and so on. None of the parts of the body is indispensable. We don't know until you may hit some fingernail of one of your fingers, then you realize you cannot do certain thing right away. So every part of the body is indispensable for the function of a healthy body to do something. Just like that, each spiritual gift is indispensable for the health of the church. That's exactly what Apostle Paul is alluding to here. We cannot say, you don't exist anymore. I cannot say, my brain cannot say, my right hand, I don't need you. You don't exist. If we say certain things doesn't exist, it's as if we say, my right feet is no longer used or necessary. My brain cannot say that. So God put us in the body with these differences so that we might depend on each other. So why are the gift of the Holy Spirit given? It's given for the health of the church. For the church truly be functioning as the church Jesus intended to be, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to have all these gifts, diverse gifts, sin, among the members. And the Holy Spirit is the one who distributes according to his will to each person different gifts. So when he put them together, we are functioning well and healthy. That's the intent of the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's get into the last question, very controversial question. Are miraculous gifts still in effect today? I know that some of you, we may have 2 groups here, maybe even 3 groups on this question. But let me humbly present what the Bible has to say. I don't want to put my own experience into this question. So another question is, have signed gifts been seized at the end of the completion of New Testament Scripture? The majority of the church in the conservative evangelical side believe that a certain kind of spiritual gifts, namely miraculous gifts such as tongues, prophecies, miraculous power, and even healing, have been seized at the end of the apostolic age, at the completion of the New Testament canon. And many other churches that belong to this camp do not assert cessationism per se, but they are very cautious to talk about these sign gifts. They're not comfortable to talk about it. So the preachers never talk about sign gifts, although they are not cessationist per se, because they want to be very careful. And this phenomenon has some historical background. The so-called Pentecostal and charismatic movement that hit hard in the U.S. and Canada starting early 20th century. I think Azusa Street, 1910, somewhere around that, that was the first time that people reported a certain gift manifested to the people. And all the way to 1980s, I think last important event is the Toronto Blessing. I think they call that third wave or something, and they are waiting for fourth wave in that circle. The problem was they overly emphasized prophetic gift and sign gifts to the extent that they kind of take away this word of God being preached faithfully. So they are focusing on gifts and Holy Spirit's gifts. Every Sunday they talk about prophetic words. Rather than reading the Bible as a God's prophetic word, they rather have a lot of individual prophetic words pronounced. And slowly they abandon the scripture. So from the evangelical conservative side, they're kind of strange, because they don't talk about the Bible anymore, but they talk about the individual gifts. So, because of those things, and also some Pentecostal churches in the 60s and 70s contended that if you don't speak tongue, you may not have Holy Spirit in you. So they kind of think that speaking tongue is a test for your faith in Jesus Christ, which they later said they are wrong back then. So now nobody says that, but because of those influence, a lot of conservative evangelical churches shut down their door. They don't want to talk about Holy Spirit at all. So that's kind of the background. And I think Satan used those circumstances very well, to the effect, to the extent that churches are divided. And even these days, those two extreme camps, they don't talk to each other. They think that, they blame each other for the lack of certain things. So having seen this movement, the conservative evangelical camp by and large shut the door in the area by saying sign gift has been seized at the end of the completion of the New Testament scripture. And Benjamin Warfield, actually Princeton scholar, in 19th century actually asserted that. He tried to defend the inerrancy of the Bible, but also he tried to defend liberalism and also this charismatic movement. He just declared that charismatic movement is heretical. So a lot of people respected Benjamin Warfield as the scholar of the evangelical conservative camp. They embraced him a lot. So even these days, many prominent evangelical preachers say exactly the same thing. And if you grew up in a conservative church, you might have been told by your pastor not to speak tongue at all. That's what I was told. I didn't speak tongue, but I was told, don't speak tongue at all. He didn't say why, but we are kind of given tongue is bad, tongue is evil. But let me challenge, if you still believe tongue is bad and tongue is a heretical thing, Let me give you biblical reference. 1 Corinthians 14:39. It says this, "Therefore, my brethren, desire honestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues." There were controversies around tongues because of unorderly worship. You know, people, you know, became chaotic because there's no interpretation of tongues. But nonetheless, Apostle Paul never said, "Don't speak in tongues in the church." He said, "I do not forbid to speak in tongues." With the proper and orderly worship, he allowed that. So, you know, I want to be challenged by what he says in the Bible. And I believe 1 Corinthians 14 is inspired text, inerrant, and I take it because this is what God speaks to me. I cannot say some of you speak in tongues, don't speak in tongues in church, because then I disobey 1 Corinthians 14:39. So I cannot do that because I want to be faithful to what Bible has to say. And nowhere in the Bible that says tongue has ceased. It's a interpretation. And in either case, I believe people are bound by their own experience or lack of experience. I got a gift of tongues when I was praying myself in apartment when I was in college. I didn't know what that was, but I was uttering some unintelligible words, which I kind of know what that is, but it was not either English or Korean, two languages that I spoke back then. And, you know, what is that? You know, I was surprised. And I later realized that that was gift of tongues. But I don't want to, bound by my own experience or lack of it, to assert certain things. And, you know, I wouldn't say everybody should speak in tongues. You know, I don't want people to, I don't want to persuade to people to speak tongues because it's a Holy Spirit's will. When he want to give, you're going to have. If he doesn't want, he want to give something else, he want to give you something else. I don't want to impose that. So I don't want to be bound by my own experience. But tongue is a very constructive ways to speak to God. But anyhow, so I want the scripture has to be the sole basis of our conviction. Let's hypothetically assume that sign gifts of the Holy Spirit continue to exist. But if we say that they have been ceased in the second century, what would be the implication? Are we not standing against the Holy Spirit? Are we not grieving the Holy Spirit if Holy Spirit continue to exercise his sovereign will in giving gift of Holy Spirit? So when people say such things, we should find biblical evidence to support such a notion. So as a Bible student myself, I have not found such support in the scripture that sign gift has been seized at the completion of New Testament. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:8-10. 1 Corinthians 13:8-10. "Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away." So this is the verse that conservative evangelicals make use of it, that tongue has been seized at the completion of New Testament canonization. And they interpret, when perfect comes, all these partial things will done away. So I think we have to be careful what this perfect means, right? When is the time? One tradition says the coming of perfection or completeness refers to the coming of the day when scripture was complete. And other view said the coming of the perfect refers to the return of Jesus Christ. So when is the time? When is the time we will fully know and will be known fully? When is the time we will see face to face this perfection? Revelation 22:4 says, "In heaven we will see God's face." And 1 John 3:2, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is." Do we have perfect knowledge now? I don't think so. I think we have enough knowledge, sufficient knowledge that Jesus is Lord. You know, so that he is the only judge, he is the only savior, that's sufficient knowledge. But we don't have perfect knowledge yet. So the time in which we will perfectly know hasn't come. And do we see Jesus now face to face? I don't think so. So the time in which we will see Jesus Christ face to face has not come. And Revelation 1:7, let me read it for you. "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him, so shall it be. Amen." You know, when do you think people see Jesus face to face? There is a clear evidence in the scripture that says, there is no clear evidence in the scripture that says sign gifts have been seized when the New Testament scripture was completed. I don't think that's what perfection meant, according to Apostle Paul. And let me give you one more important Bible reference, 1 Corinthians 1:7. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:7. "So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." In NIV, "Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." So what does this Bible say to you? Does it say, you know, those gifts assist? Or it said eagerly wait for the Lord, and until then, do not lack any spiritual gift. As you are waiting, you should pursue the, you know, gift of the Holy Spirit. So this gift alludes that spiritual gifts are valuable, so valuable until the day of the Lord. When Jesus comes, you don't have to prophesy anymore because Jesus is, you know, the figure. We don't have to speak in tongue because we're going to see Jesus face to face. And we don't have to have any other spiritual gift because we are going to see Jesus. So I'm convinced that all spiritual gifts that Apostle Paul talked about in his epistles are valid today. I don't think 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 are relevant. I don't think they are irrelevant anymore. But I read it, I take it. I don't want to truncate any portion of the Bible. And why? Because I believe that's what Scripture says. And look at Joel's prophecy, a day of the Lord, in Joel 2:28 and 29. Let me read it for you for the sake of time. Joel 2:28-29, "And afterwards I pour out my spirit on all people. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days." You know, I believe what Joel is saying is that the Holy Spirit will pour out overwhelming power and gift of signs, especially here, because he talks about prophecy, dreams, and visions in the latter days before the day of the Lord. And Pentecost, to me, was not the peak of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was only a beginning of Joel's prophecy. And the peak has not yet taken place. And as we are drawing closer to the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus, I believe Joel's prophecy will be fully fulfilled. That means there's got to be more of gift of the Holy Spirit manifest and demonstrated through people in the church. And I am seeing this thing happening in the other parts of the world these days. African continent actually experienced so much of outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and also China and India, and somehow not USA. I don't know why. And somehow not in South Korea. I don't know why. But I have seen this evidence also in Indonesia, and I think Hong Kong. I don't know how God operates, but I have seen, I have experienced, I was part of those outpouring of the Holy Spirit in different parts of the world. But anyhow, what difference does it make for us? It means that I believe the spiritual gift, as the Bible talks about, 22 items, have not passed away. But it meant for the good of the church until Jesus comes. And let me give you one more Bible reference. Sorry that I have given so many Bible references today, but I think I don't want to, assert things based on my own thinking, but rather let Bible has, speak. 1 Corinthians 1. Pursue love, yet desire eagerly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Are you going to take this word to your heart, or you think that, oh, this is no more, it's done? I don't believe it. It's your choice. I don't want to impose my own conviction to you, because I still think that you don't have to endorse what I said today. I still respect you, even if you are secessionist, because I know why you are secessionist, because I was. but I still respect. This is not something that, that will divide us. But how would you respond to 1 Corinthians 14:1? To be honest, as spiritual gifts are the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are to be thankful to the Holy Spirit as the sovereign Lord of grace. Actually, grace is charis, and gifts are charismata. It's just basically grace, God's grace. Gift of the Holy Spirit is basically a manifestation of God's grace, so that we would edify each other to build up the Church of Jesus Christ. So we are to embrace and encourage people with different kinds of spiritual gifts, as diversity is a sign of healthy church. And finally, we are to honestly desire different spiritual gifts to strengthen the church to the glory of Jesus Christ. So have you ever eagerly desired spiritual gifts? And if not, would you be willing to ask the Holy Spirit today to give different spiritual gifts to edify the church, the body of Jesus Christ? We talked about gift of knowledge, gift of power, gift of speech, and gift of skills and deeds, 22. Not just sign gifts, but different kinds of gifts, so that you would be willing to build up the church together with other people who have different gifts. Let us pray together for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to be able to receive different gifts as we express the Holy Spirit to dispense them out of His sovereign will. He may or may not give you different gifts even if you ask for, but let us humbly submit ourselves to 1 Corinthians 14:1 passage that says, desire honestly spiritual gifts. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to your presence. If there has been misunderstanding or sinful practices because of this controversy, we ask you to forgive us, first of all. If there has been shutting door of the Holy Spirit because of this controversy, we ask you to forgive us. And if we are tainted by misunderstanding, we ask you to cleanse today so that we would be completely at the same page with what your Bible has to say. Whether we like it or not, give us humility to abide by your word. And we humbly ask, Holy Spirit, to give more of your presence and your power and your gifts. If you are willing to give certain things to us, you will do that. And we would be happy to receive things from you today. Holy Spirit, we commit our heart to you, your presence now, and give us heart to glorify Jesus, which is your mission, and which is our mission as well. As we humbly come to your presence, we thank you and pray in Jesus' name.
Spirit.
Sufficiently, the only living and true God who made everything. Lord Jesus, we glorify your name. Let us focus on you and your name and you know, your fame and your glory. May each day be spent to know you more and to have you known to this world. And Holy Spirit, thank you that your mission is to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ and help this church to be a healthy church. If you will, give us your power, more of your power, and more of different diverse gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we would be able to function in as a healthy church. To the glory of Jesus Christ, on earth and in heaven. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.